You know, I'm a dog, and I'm kind of new to this family, but I've noticed a trend. My humans do this thing where they go around and get all my toys and hide them in this basket. But it's always the same basket, and it's always the same place. And then they act so surprised when I find them. But I'm like, hello, that's where you put it last time. Humans are the worst at hide-and-go-seek.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Yeah, real believable role there. Okay, it's 6:05. How'd that happen? You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's, 5 minutes ago, it was time for Off the Wall. So let's give it a shot now. Okay, we're going to have to cut the theme short because whatever show is before us didn't know how to tell time, and we're starting very late. Here we are. This is Emmanuel and Kyle over on the other side of the room.
Yeah, I'm just helping out. I'm organizing some things.
What are you doing? No, it's like you're just building something over there.
We just got some cables.
There's organize. Too many cables.
There were a lot of cables when we walked in here.
Yeah, and now they're all over.
I'm just trying to hang them over here on the wall. I just need it to get a little cleaner. Somebody's going to trip. Somebody is going to trip.
It's around your neck. That's not a good.
No, and it's getting tangled. That. I don't think I can sit down. Can you hold that?
No, I'm not going to hold. That's not part of what I'm supposed to be doing right now.
No.
I'm supposed to.
All right, now just go ahead. Finish what you're saying.
I haven't said anything yet.
No,
I'm just trying to start the show. We're late.
No, okay. I know. All right,
Why are we doing these things?
No, I'm sitting down. I'm sitting down.
Will you please sit down already?
All right.
We already had one chair mishap. Somebody left a chair in here that's about 3 inches off the ground, and I sat down in that, and wow, that was. What in the world is that?
This is my other talking chair.
The chairs are talking. Wow.
I don't know. I just found a chair myself, and the wires are still tangled. So
everything is going to pot. Everything is falling apart and being destroyed. And we're watching the disintegration of Western civilization. In fact, someone said that should be the name of our show. But we don't need to contribute to it ourselves. We can just report on what's going on in the outside world.
We're our own best enemies.
I've been told that so many times. I really have been. And I choose to take it as a compliment, but it probably isn't meant that way. Okay, so yeah, today, wow. Today we really, we didn't do anything, but our great leader really put his foot in it this time. Oh, boy, where do we begin? The Iran deal, dead. He killed it. In fact, it's better than that.
He always said he would.
Yeah, he said he would. He said he would. He said he'd do a lot of things, you know. We're not just backing out of it. We violated the deal. That's, you know, if Iran had decided, yeah, you know what, we're not going to do this anymore. We're going to start making nuclear weapons again. We wouldn't have said, oh, yeah, Iran, after careful consideration, decided to back out of the deal. No, we'd say those bastards, they violated the deal. They should not be trusted. Well, these bastards right here at home, they violated the deal. They should not be trusted. You know, if I was, and this is quite a concept, if I was Kim Jong-un, right? Just let that sink in for a second. Wow, if I was Kim Jong-un. Ice cream every day, all right, for starters, and whatever. It's all kinds of things. I would just start over. I would, you know, new paint everywhere for one thing. But Well, okay.
That's a good start.
Pastels, I'm thinking.
More pastels.
More pastels, yeah.
Yeah.
But regardless, if I were Kim Jong-un, I would, first of all, I would not let Pompeo into the country. He's on his way there now. That was announced today as well. I would not trust anything this country says or does. We are not trustworthy anymore. We've lost all credibility. Any deal that Kim Jong-un makes with the United States could be overturned next week. We could violate that, you know, a month, a year down the road. Don't trust us. In fact, that's the message I have to say to the entire world, any country, including our allies in Europe. Do not trust us. We are not reliable at the moment. We are in a state of flux, and anything could happen. Our word means nothing. And, you know, you have a deal. You have this deal that Trump obviously didn't like, but you know what? It's a deal. Didn't you write a damn book, The Art of the Deal? You should know that an agreement is an agreement. And, yeah, you might not be the person who made the agreement, but you took over for that person. You are bound. You are bound to live by the rule of law, the agreements that were made. And you seem to think that you don't have to do that. Kind of like, you know, when you hire a contractor and there's something you're not happy about, so you don't pay the contractor at all. I've heard of people doing that as well.
I think you hit it right there, though, that it's that it's not his deal. So it's this thing, this spiteful thing again that we will have to return to, where, you know, because it had been brokered under Obama, he can't let it stand. And maybe this is a cue out of Art of the Deal, but just not the play we're thinking. And my first reaction to this cancellation or attempt to cancel this Iranian agreement, which is really an agreement with quite a few other entities, not just a bilateral type situation.
I know, it's not just us.
Uh-huh. But that aside, the cancellation is itself something that I forgot what I was going to say. I'm sorry. You go back to what we were talking about.
Okay. Well, we were talking about the Iranian deal. Okay.
Right. No, I was just trying to articulate. My opinion about it that it'll come back to me. I just lost what I was going to say.
Okay. Well, we have all kinds of precedents, bad precedents that are being set, and I don't think we're ever going to quite look the same way. We can't be trusted. That's unfortunately how it is.
Oh, I wanted to say that it was punishment, that he sees it in a capacity that's going to punish, in other words, Iran. And I think this is in the president's mind, like a ploy to seem strong in the eyes of Kim Jong-un. And I was wondering if you thought that was the same reaction. You know, it's not his deal, so he can show while he's trying to broker this thing with Kim Jong-un that he is a strong man and that he'll break it just as soon. And you know, you, Kim Jong-un, will be right back where the Iranians are now. You know, just kind of showing that he can make him break these things on a whim. And that's his idea of strength.
But how does that make anybody feel comfortable making a deal with someone who could just on a whim break the deal? You know, it wasn't based on anything that happened. The Iranians have been living up to the deal. They've been doing everything they were supposed to do. Our own people say this. Now, Trump is deciding to believe Netanyahu, who cannot be trusted as far as you can throw him. And he runs counter to our own intelligence people, Trump does not trust at all. Doesn't trust our own people. Trust the snake oil salesman Netanyahu instead, you know? And believe me, that guy is not to be trusted. But they're basically the same person. And did you hear what Netanyahu did, actually? This was kind of crazy and insane. He served The Japanese prime minister dessert in a shoe. I'm not kidding. You can't make this stuff up. There aren't many cultures where putting a shoe on the dining room table is acceptable behavior. And the Japanese in particular do not like it when you do that. In fact, you might notice if you go into Japanese homes and even places of business, you're often asked to take your shoes off. Yeah, well, basically what on a state visit to Israel, the Japanese leader was treated to a festive meal at the official residence of Netanyahu and his wife. Their second time in Israel, dessert time, a selection of delectable chocolate pralines artistically arranged inside a shiny leather shoe. Israel's daily newspaper said Japanese diplomats, Israeli foreign ministry officials, high-ranking Israeli diplomats who previously served in Japan were shocked by the idea. This was an insensitive decision. There is nothing lowlier than a shoe in Japanese culture. Not only do they not wear shoes at home, you also won't find shoes in their offices. This is disrespect of the First Order. A Japanese diplomat said there's no culture in the world in which you put shoes on the table. What was the distinguished chef thinking? If it was humor, we don't think it's funny. We were offended on behalf of our prime minister. And, you know, the prime minister of Israel needs to take some responsibility for this, of which he's not. When you look at the things that are going on over there, you see a lot of parallels to Trump. You see a lot of cluelessness, a lot of detachment from the people, a lot of fascism, a lot of things going on. And you know what? Hey, right now, people in Israel are preparing for war. They're saying that Iran is starting to do suspicious things in Syria. And how dare they do that? How dare they be doing suspicious things in Syria? Meanwhile, Israel is bombing Syria and not admitting to it. So therefore, they can't be held responsible for it because they're not admitting to it. Whereas Iran is saying, yeah, we're in Syria. We're doing this and that. Everyone else is in Syria. Why can't we be there as well? But Israel right now, air raid sirens, all kinds of things are going on as a direct result of what Trump did today. And they love it. At least the government over there loves it. This is what they want. They want their people living in fear because they're controllable then. When they have the enemy, when they have somebody that they can point the finger at, they can easily do what they're told. And unfortunately, that is the road we're going down right now.
We need to work in this system, but it's also a reason to denounce it because this catches on, and validating it here, or the perception of validating it here, allows it to be something that people think works. And just for the shoe reference, I mean, that seems tone deaf. And I think it would even be offensive if were the shoe not actually a real leather shoe. I mean, even if it was like a chocolate-shaped shoe, wouldn't that still be a nod to its cultural relevance in Japanese culture?
And even a picture of a shoe. You know, it's offensive. It's
pretty clumsy. Yeah.
Well, what were you thinking?
Yeah. Anyway, you know? But that's interesting. I hadn't heard that. But I have heard about perceived intelligence that Netanyahu was bringing up and all this, the drumming up of stuff in the area. I have been following that a little bit. I will confess that I don't know a lot.
And, you know, this is
the latest stuff.
The whole Israel thing, you know, I think Netanyahu is scum. That does not make me anti-Semitic. All right. If you criticize the Israeli government, you are not criticizing the Jewish people. This is something that both Democrats and Republicans need to get into their thick skulls. All right. What Israel does is horrible to the people around them. And the whole world knows this. And yeah, the whole world is against Israel. Boo hoo. It's not the case. Israel doesn't follow international law. Israel gets condemned for that, except the United States is always there to bail them out. That has to stop. It's not going to stop anytime soon, not with the likes of Trump and Netanyahu in power. But eventually it will stop. Eventually justice will be heard. We just made it a lot more distant today. There's so much wrong over there, so much inequality. For instance, you know, how about the Israeli nuclear program? Tell me about that. Tell me what kind of capability they have. You won't hear it. No one talks about that because that's off limits. You're not supposed to talk about that. But yet somehow that's okay. Somehow it's okay for one of the most hysterical countries in the world to have the ability to completely annihilate a population someplace. And they've proven they have no problem doing that. Just a couple of weeks ago, you had people in Gaza that were throwing stones. Yeah, you shouldn't throw stones. I know that. I learned that in second grade. But you know what? It's all they got. And They're talking about how, yeah, we had to kill people because those are the rules of engagement. Rules of engagement, Israel? Really? Rules of engagement, we should be arming those people so they can fight you in a fair fight instead of throwing stones at you where you mow them down with machine guns. All right? I'm not taking sides here. I'm just saying if you're gonna quote rules of engagement, at least make it an actual engagement and not just shooting a bunch of kids who are so frustrated at living in a damn prison state that they have no choice but to throw stones at the occupiers. Why are you occupiers in the first place? This is not what the Jewish people are all about. Not by any stretch of the imagination. It is so tragic on all sides. And, you know, we are just perpetuating that. And where is it going to end? You know, look down the road. Where is this going to end? You have situations where Hezbollah, Hamas, they're democratically elected now. You know, the people there, they want them. We call them a terrorist group. So now what? The people are terrorists? All the people now are terrorists because they're voting these people in? You know, we voted Trump in. What does that make us? You cannot condemn an entire population because of the reaction of people that feel they have no choice. We can't condemn the American people because they made a bad decision because they thought that was their choice based on fake news and Facebook and whatever else. We cannot condemn people for voting for Duterte or any of the other fascist leaders that are out there right now. All we can do is try and fix the mistakes that have been made and think about this from a global perspective instead of this isolationist narrow view that we have.
Yeah. You can certainly call out the act. And I think that is a good question. What is the path? You know, what is the... what is the overall goal? Like what is our reason for participating or not? And you know, and what kind of hypocrisy is hypocrisy, and uh-huh, you know, yeah. what kind of tactics people use when they are feeling as though they're occupied? I mean, people will yearn for survival and do that in any way possible. And
absolutely. You know, and we should be on their side because that is how our country was founded, right? We should always be on the side of the oppressed. We should always be on the side of the people who want a voice for themselves. And, you know, if there is a message to the Palestinian people right now, we are not your friend. We are not your—do not trust this country. We will not help you. We will hurt you in the current state. We are not to be trusted. And, you know, they're getting that message, but I just think it needs to be said from here because that is the truth. And until something fundamental changes, it's going to remain the truth. And even getting rid of Trump isn't enough because, like I said, so many Democrats are blind to this. You will see this over and over again where, you know, it's a competition of who loves Israel more. You know, that's not what this should be about at all. Because obviously there are horrible things going on over there that should be fixed, that should be addressed. Nobody is above criticism. And unfortunately, so many people are afraid of the, you know, reaction of powerful lobbies that they won't dare criticize. Well, here we dare to criticize. There is nobody we will not criticize. If you can think of anybody we won't criticize, tell me. I'll criticize them.
No, I can't think of anyone.
I'll criticize myself. I'll do it. Where do I come off saying these things? You know, I'm kind of shrill, kind of like, you know, I should be sitting down, not standing up like this, you know, you know, I don't know half the things I'm talking about. Have I ever been in the UN General Assembly? No, you haven't.
You don't have to criticize yourself, though.
Well, I feel like I deserve it.
Well, I don't know. I don't hear anything that isn't rational, and I think you make a lot of sense.
Who do I think I am, anyway?
I'm trying to help you from yourself criticizing yourself, and so
you can't help me, Kyle. You can't help me. When will you learn?
Pretty good analysis, though.
Thank you. Thank you very
much. No, I'm impressed, and I totally agree. I'm with you. I think that people have to be able to take criticism, and the self-awareness, like, you know, how do you appear to people who are not like you, who may live in your communities, and you know, whether you're a bureaucrat or a authority of some sort.
And, you know, what I can't stand is this holier-than-thou attitude that I always see in virtually every every situation that plays out. Remember the Starbucks incident in Philadelphia? I'm seeing this now. I'm seeing this reaction. You know, if only they had followed orders from a Starbucks employee. If only they had followed the orders and, gotten something, bought a cup of coffee, then that wouldn't have happened to them. In other words, they deserve it. Same thing, you know, in Gaza. Well, if only they had followed the rules and obeyed the orders of their occupiers, they would not have been shot. You know, if only those black men had not run from the police, they would not have been shot in the back. You know, things like that. You know, I obey the law and I'm fine. You know, you also live in suburbia and you have a nice, green lawn and you're white as the driven snow. You don't have any problems. What you fail to realize is that a lot of the world isn't privileged like you are. And they have a lot more challenges to deal with. But this holier-than-thou attitude where these are the inferior people not following the rules so they deserve what they get, that is the problem. And we see that so many times. Just look at any conflict zone in the world or even in our own backyard, and you'll see that. That needs to be addressed. That needs to be looked at because you're not viewing it in a realistic manner. You're viewing it from your own perspective. And I find that really doesn't reflect reality very well.
Yeah. This is where I get into the systems and institutions that are sort of exploiting people, and then it becomes misplaced because people want, to be able to point to other individuals instead of, circumstances and, the politics or the heavy lifting that has put them in situations and exploited other people in the process.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get on to something a little heavier.
Well, if you want to call us, weigh in. We're always open to other perspectives, and that's what this place is all about. Our phone number is 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872. We'll put you right on the air. Yeah, and you can talk to everybody in the world that's listening right now. And also have your voice recorded forever because we archive all the shows. You can listen to every edition of Off the Wall, by the way, at 2600.com/off the wall.
You too can be at a loss for words for several seconds on air.
Yeah, what was that? What was that like?
Well, I was a little flustered. Honestly, we had the wires tangling up. It might have been choking off oxygen.
You cut off the oxygen supply to your brain with that cable. I told you to get it off your neck.
I got what I wanted to say out. It's something I had honestly seen, and I wanted to mention it. I hate that when that happens. So
I hate that too.
Maybe someone else can try.
We have a phone call. The paramedics can leave now. Hopefully that worked. I think I have it right. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Can you hear us?
Yeah, sure can.
Oh, how wow. And what a good connection you have.
Yeah, you sound good.
Well, I'm in Suffolk County.
Okay, you're nearby. In fact, it sounds like you're downstairs, but probably not.
Yeah, no, I'm over Brad from Brentwood. I've called this show and off the hook several times over the years and emailed you. I was out to Stony Brook a couple times for medical procedures this past week. Everything's fine.
Were you satisfied with the care that you received?
Oh, yeah. I got a couple good teams out there. Yep.
That's good. That's good. We can talk about medical things later. We were doing that increasingly. But what's on your mind tonight?
I'm not going there. I'm really chiming in with what you're talking about, how these guys are treated and mistreated at Starbucks. And I want to let you know, it's from the recent past. At our church in Brentwood, they built a mosque next door. So what we did at the Brentwood Presbyterian Church is we sent an electrical cord, power cord, like you use to run your electric mower or something.
Uh-huh.
We sent a long one over from our church over there so they could build their mosque while they were building it.
Oh, okay. I thought it was maybe some kind of a symbol. Like
like
a whip or something.
No, no, no.
Okay, no, that's good. That's great.
For like power saws. Utility. Contract work, yeah.
And how is that received?
Charge them for it, and we were happy to do it, and we're not asking questions and calling them names, and we know, not only that, we call our church a Mosaic community. No, we're not selling anything here.
Uh-huh. That's
awesome.
We call
it a Mosaic community because we have people from all walks, like a pastor from Africa just showed up, and he's been at the church coming to the Bible studies and whatever, and he even preached a little. but we have African people, Hispanic, German, others, many, and...
Any Norwegians?
Schnooka de Norskas.
Okay, all right.
Actually, we do, yes. Evelyn, her husband, Bob Hoey, just passed on recently.
She's
healthy.
Wow.
He was in Bible study today.
Uh-huh.
I'm a white, German, English, Irish, Scottish...
Wow.
Guy myself.
I noticed you left out Wales.
Yeah, I don't know. I never heard any whales in there.
Don't give me a bad time about whales.
Well, no, it's what you're touching upon, sir, is the beauty of that mosaic. How we're all different. How we're all part of something bigger from the past. But we have to welcome people who are from different mosaics as well. And it sounds like you guys got that down.
You gotta be progressive and open to, you know. There's no story about one little niche and nobody else can have any part of it, because that's an old, that doesn't play.
Uh-huh.
Not at our church, and we're proud. We just call it a mosaic community.
Wow.
I'm broadcasting. You guys are broadcasting. I'm pumping in to the world that it can be done like this. It's not all about, but they were black, so maybe they should have been buying something, or what were they doing in the store? And one treat Starbucks. Somebody may walk in, sneak their own coffee in or not, and hook up and charge their phone or use their Wi-Fi. And believe me, it's been done by all kinds of mosaic race.
Let me just say, you know, I've been in Starbucks many times and other coffee shops as well. And never once did I feel pressure that I had to buy something before I sat down, or was, you know, if I was waiting for somebody, that was going to be a problem in any way. So to even presume that these people should have done this, it tells me that they're not in touch with reality. That's not how it works, unless you're of a certain complexion in a certain area and people react in a bad way. I'm not saying this is Starbucks doing this. I'm saying it's the reaction of individual people that, jump the gun as far as seeing where danger is when there is no evidence of danger other than somebody who looks a little bit different than you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's small-minded. It's so petty. It's so mean and ridiculous. If you're on any of that, you're not with the times. You're not progressive. Hateful and behind and ridiculous and small-minded.
All of that, but the one thing I would reiterate that has been said here is that Starbucks, it cannot be underestimated the things that people get away with there. So please, you know, pointing your finger saying there's some routine or a protocol that was breached is completely ridiculous.
You talking about the guy shaving?
Fine, yeah.
Okay, the electric razor, yeah. That was disgusting, but
right.
To me, it's always been a welcoming environment. The fact that it's not a welcoming environment to others disturbs me. But sir, I want to mention you're calling from Brentwood, and for people on the island certainly, and maybe even from other parts of the world, who hear about Brentwood, they probably have heard really, really negative things. Brentwood being a haven for MS-13 and all sorts of evil in the world. Certainly, Trump has presented it in that way. Tell us what Brentwood is really like.
You know, it's not so bad. There are nice parts of the community. Not only that, a lot of people stick to themselves, whether they don't have papers or don't want to know you or don't speak the language. But, you know, we pretty much get along pretty well. There is a thriving community here, one where there are industrial parks here and there, next door in Hopog and Islandia and so on, and in Brentwood. And next door in Deer Park, where Heartland is, and they want to build that big complex in Brentwood, but, it's okay.
Do you feel safe there?
Somewhat.
Okay.
They arrested the heroin dealer from our block, but regardless, there are bullets going off now and then, you know, a couple blocks away. They have a shot spotter, and there are some once in a while. But
Can you describe that?
North Shore, and they're going on over there too.
Yeah, what is that like? That
shot spotter? Can you describe that?
It's an electronic device that the police or the county buys, and they fasten, I believe, to a telephone pole or something, and it senses the audio of things like firecrackers or gunshot, and they can think they can decipher between the two and think that they can locate generally where the shots came from. I know Huntington has a couple of them, but they have several of them here.
Well, it's unfortunate, and you know, you're being very honest when you say you feel somewhat safe there, and there are certainly problems, and we're certainly not denying that there are problems in Brentwood, but to describe it as the hellhole that our own government portrays it as, that doesn't help anybody.
It doesn't, but they're not doing right here. You know what I mean by that is, we don't have a main street. You know, there are a couple of bigger drags with mm-hmm. more stores, like let's say Huntington, because I know the community well. Huntington has a nice. Huntington's like a cultural mecca.
Right.
Many things there, not just the new community cinema, but great shops, great taverns, restaurants, water, on and on. This is landlocked, and they don't have a central region almost at all.
Yeah, you need that. It can't just be a bunch of strip malls and streets where people do 50 miles an hour passing through. You can't really do much about being landlocked, but you certainly can have a place where people go to congregate, to talk to each other, to buy something from the local shop. That is essential to all of us.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
I also want to insert while we're here. I got 3 years in the joint, but attend the precinct meetings pretty regularly. I don't have to, and they're open to having people, but we try to cover things, and they're kind of locked in their copness, if you will. But
yes,
they're trying.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you're open to hearing them and communicating with them, not just blanket condemnation or blanket acceptance. And I think that's very important.
Exactly. I'm mentioning that because others can do it in this community and every other community that offers one, or they can get one, ask to get one started, just to get a better window on what is and isn't going on if you get the straight dope from them. And, you know, get to know some of the politicians or the people that are there. Like here in this community, Steve Flotteron is a legislator now, and he was a councilman, and he just shows up at all the meetings. He cares. He comes, he gives his time, a regular guy you can talk to. He's earned my respect.
Cool. There's a lot of good people out there.
Yeah, that's how you find out about what other things are important to people in your community, but also those civil engineering and other projects. You want to find out when and how those things are being designed and planned, and you know what you can expect or what people are kind of excited about or trying to fix.
Yeah, the guy that owns Heartland over in Deer Park is looking to build that huge complex. It's like a $5 billion three-stage project.
Yeah, you mentioned that. What kind of complex is it? Is it like a condo or something?
It's supposed to make
many,
a main street or something. It's supposed to be that community that is lacking. Is that related to reality in any way?
Absolutely. Not only that, though, one aspect, it was supposed to be like a trucking/rail hub. So if you put that in, they want to know that it's not going to make the traffic worse because the traffic isn't great. But not just that, there's residential, industrial, and commercial.
Okay.
All zoned, like mixed or adjacent or just in the way?
Yeah, where the Pilgrim State Psych Institution was.
I spent many a day wandering the grounds of that place.
Wait, what?
No, it's beautiful.
I worked at Suffolk State back in the day in Melville, but
Do you remember Edgewood?
Oh.
Remember the Edgewood Mental Hospital?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was on Comac Road. It was this big, huge building. Well, you can go to Kings Park, and there's a big, huge building in that former psychiatric center that you can be scared by. But yeah, there used to be all these huge mental facilities that were located out on the island where, you know, people didn't go any further than that. Of course, now they do. It really is kind of a dark period in our history.
Yeah.
Well, better...
bodies that are around there, but...
Yeah. They have a pretty impressive cemetery as well. But that is the location where this Heartland... development is being planned. You think that's a good thing overall?
I do, actually, because it's going to be set up it's fresh, so it's probably going to be somewhat to code, mm-hmm. and newer technology. And the community has their eyes on it. So, you know, as opposed to some of the things around here are so on. I mean, some of these houses are so full of God knows who is, are the tenants. I don't care if you come from Mars. I'm not judging someone if they're El Salvadoran, but the safety of the places, you know, they'll just take a propane tank and a little copper tube and stick it through the wall from outside, and that's their heat because they didn't pay their bill or something, or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It's not safe. That's why it shouldn't be done, because it can cause them to get burned or blow up.
Yeah, well, things have to be affordable. Houses can't be made out of paper. Basics, you know, like other countries have. And once we have an acceptable quality of life, I think you'll see an improvement in those day-to-day activities.
Yeah, he owns the Heartland Business District. It's its own industrial park over in Deer Park at the Deer Park Rail.
Uh-huh.
And is it the Deer Park Rail? And
is that rail hub going to be built as well? Because that would be a nice thing to have.
They're giving him problems, saying it'll be too much traffic. So if you don't have a good program to propose to the state, they won't let him. That's one of the big holdups.
So that local traffic doesn't disrupt, like, trucks and industrial stuff that's entering and trying to get onto the freeways and
Seems
stuff.
To me a rail hub would decrease traffic, but what do I know?
Not only that, it would make things more efficient for the whole area.
Mm-hmm,
in
mm-hmm.
a sense. You know, not only that, bring commerce. Hello?
Yeah, that's that would be a good thing. Listen, sir, thank you so much for all the information that you've shared with us. Sounds like you're doing great things in Brentwood, and I look forward to hearing good things from that part of the island.
Yeah. Take care. Hey, Bernie, what's up?
Good night. All right. Call from Brentwood. That's it's a troubled area, but there's all these signs of hope, and I think that's something we have to focus on.
Yeah, and his sentiment about community building and, you know, the sort of acceptance that's out there is also something nice to remember.
Absolutely,
Shouldn't forget that.
Today has been a real red-letter day as far as history being made and trust being destroyed and things like that. What else happened over the last week? Any other? So many things are happening that I kind of lose track of them. I know, you know, Melania Trump had her whole thing. Was it yesterday? Her whole program about anti-bullying, which I can't help but think is kind of a shot against Trump for being the ultimate bully. Not that she would ever say that. At least not now. Maybe in her book in a few years she'll say something like that. The campaign is called Be Best, and I don't know, something about that that just...
What?
Yeah, that doesn't really make any sense. It should be the best, right? There's like a word missing from there. When do you use be best in a sentence? Be best.
What the heck?
Yeah. It's going to focus on childhood well-being, social media use, opioid abuse, anti-opioid abuse. Well, yeah, basically, you know, it's positive. It's good.
So it's like a play on be well.
But...
you say be well to someone. Be best.
Yeah.
It
seems well-intentioned, but it also seems, you know, very simplistic. I don't mean to denigrate her efforts. There needs to be more passion, and I'm not seeing a lot of that.
What's it going to do again?
But of course, how can you have passion around that guy?
Sucking vortex of whatever. What does it do? What is her...
That's a good question. Well, I guess raise awareness, you know, as if we didn't already have awareness of...
Awareness.
I think Trump has brought a lot of awareness to the issue of bullying online and things like that. According to this story, the First Lady does not seem worried her cause is preventing something many think her husband embodies. In fact, her distinguishing herself from the president has possibly been one of the reasons for her relative popularity. And she is. She's got a 57% approval rating. So... Yeah, it's interesting. You know, there's certainly nothing wrong with it, other than maybe the name. But that's the other thing that happened. You hear about this Google Assistant thing they're announcing as well? Just to go off on a completely different tangent, Google's going to have this feature soon as if this is what we really need right now, that lets your phone impersonate people. Yeah, it's called Duplex. And according to this news story, it's intended to make people's lives easier by handling standard phone calls that are necessary, but not especially personal. All right. So I guess when you don't have time to actually talk to somebody, you can have your Google Assistant use Duplex and do it for you.
Hello.
Go ahead.
I'm Bob.
Uh-huh.
From WUSB.
I need a demo of this.
Please.
Yeah, and no, not convincing anybody, Kyle. No. Okay. I like to, if I can pull this off, I'd like to actually play a demo of this. Let's see if I can do that.
It impersonates their voice?
Well, no, it doesn't impersonate their voice. It impersonates a voice so that you're able to do the mundane things.
Use it like a voice skin, like you say things and then it articulates the thing that you want to say?
Well, let's say that, you know, you want to make an appointment for something.
Okay.
All right. Here's an example of that. This is a presentation that was given at Google just a day or so ago.
Okay. For you. So what you're going to hear is the Google Assistant actually calling a real salon to schedule the appointment for you. Let's listen.
Hi, I'm calling to book a women's haircut for a client. I'm looking for something on May 3rd.
Sure, give me 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, what time are you looking for around?
At 12 p.m.
We do not have a 12 p.m. available. The closest we have to that is a 1:15.
Do you have anything between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.?
Depending on what service she would like, what service is she looking for?
Just a woman's haircut for now.
Okay, we have a 10 o'clock.
10 a.m. is fine.
Okay, what's her first name?
The first name is Lisa.
Okay, perfect. So I will see Lisa at 10 o'clock on May 3rd.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Great. Have a great day. Bye.
Okay, you know, that's impressive as hell. There's no question about that, but it's also scary as hell.
Come on. Save your applause, people. There were so many keywords in that. It was so scripted.
Okay, you're not impressed? I mean, you're not impressed with the back and forth? That person did not have any idea they were speaking to a computer.
It's just the opposite of talking to an IVR when you call a company or something.
But you know you're talking to an IVR. You know, press 1 for this, press 2 for that. You know that. This poor person at the hair salon, assuming she wasn't a computer, she thought she was talking to an actual human being, and she clearly was not.
But she said, depending on what service you prefer. I mean, service, do you ever hear a salon person, I don't know, is that a word they use? And wouldn't they say, and what do you want to get? You know,
Wait. That was the human that said that. Which person did you think was the computer?
The person that was answering the phone asked what service she was going to get, and she said just a woman's haircut or whatever.
Right. The person calling was the computer, not the person answering.
I know that.
Oh, then why are you questioning what the human said? Are you saying this call was staged?
I think it most certainly was staged.
You can't accuse Google of things like that.
Total PR. Come on.
Oh, wow. I don't want to be anywhere near this place when they come. Really? Okay, all right. Well, you know what? I've got a second demonstration of this. And this is a little bit more complicated. This is where the computer calls somebody who doesn't speak English all that well and doesn't give them exactly what they want. And you'll see how that plays out. And tell me if you think this is scripted or artificial in any way.
So take a listen.
How may I hear you?
Hi, I'd like to reserve a table for Wednesday the 7th.
For 7 people?
It's for 4 people.
4 people? When?
Today? Next Wednesday at 6 p.m.
Oh, actually, we live here for like 5 people. For 4 people, you can come.
How long is the wait usually to be seated?
For when, tomorrow or weekday or?
For next Wednesday, the 7th.
Oh, no, it's not too busy. You can count for 4 people, okay?
Oh, I gotcha. Thanks.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Are you kidding me?
What?
I gotcha.
I love how they insert ums and you know, make it sound like the person is thinking when it's not a person at all. But, I mean, come on. That person spoke, you know, not so good English on the other side. They didn't give the person a reservation because, you know, for 4 people or less, you can just come in. And the computer got all that. Of course, you know, they're not playing all the ones that didn't work. We don't know how many of those there were. But this is the future. This is really the future, and it scares me. It's frightening because you won't know when you're talking to a human or not, and they'll just get more and more sophisticated.
Yeah, it's going to change phone calling, definitely.
It's going to change everything. I mean, you know, it could replace us. You think a computer couldn't do what we're doing right now? This kind of interaction back and forth?
Well, we could
This kind of interaction back and forth? This kind of interaction back and forth. Sorry.
Reboot.
I was just looking for the right tone. It wasn't working. But yeah, it's frightening.
I'm actually impressed. I'm sorry that I was, you know, castigating or, you know, looking down upon this and not, you know, showing appropriate reverence for our robot.
Well, yeah, that's been noted.
Overlords.
Again, I embrace the technology as well, though. You know, I'm kind of torn here because I really love these toys. I you know, it's amazing, you know, what's going on, the developments that are happening. Westworld, for God's sake, is anybody watching that? I mean, you know, this is something that we really should be concerned about. There's a real reckoning coming, you know, and the day is going to arrive. And technologists are saying this. They're saying that, you know, when robots become more powerful than humans and they don't answer to them all the time, that's when we might be, you know, realizing we bit off a lot more than we can chew.
Countermeasures.
Uh-huh.
Countermeasures.
Are you stuck or you need a reboot there?
Excuse me.
So, yeah.
Countermeasures.
We have to be careful with how we tread into this territory here. Here's something else. There was an Uber crash a little while ago.
Wait. An actual crash of an Uber or their software platform crash in some way? Because two different crashes. And it's both a vehicle and an IT sort of company. So both can crash, you know that. I'm confused.
Yeah, well, in this particular case, this Uber car, this autonomous Uber car, ran over a person.
So I guess that's both, actually. All right.
Killed a person.
I'm sorry, I interrupted.
Killed a person, Kyle.
Killed.
Yeah. Now, the cause of the fatal crash appears to have been at the software level, specifically a function that determines which objects to ignore and which to attend to. And apparently, a human being in the road was one it chose to ignore.
It started at the software, then went to the hardware.
This puts the fault squarely on Uber's doorstep, though there was never much reason to think it belonged anywhere else. You run over somebody, it's basically your fault no matter what. And according to this article, given the multiplicity of vision systems and backups on board any given autonomous vehicle, it seemed impossible that any one of them failing could have prevented the car's systems from perceiving the person who was crossing the street directly in front of the cameras. The car didn't even touch the brakes or sound an alarm, and that failure resulted in a fatality. You know, it's very disturbing because obviously this is something that will be addressed, fixed, but it also shows that bad programming can result in really, really bad things. And hijack programming, who knows?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you have to have some auditing of this, I think, for a period of time. Like, we've not the sort of sensor systems or the road systems to support these kinds of platforms yet. And a lot of this stuff is all dependent on the vehicle. And I think in the future there's going to be other attributes of sensing and stuff with our overall infrastructure. So it's early days with this stuff, but I would like to see some poetic justice for the actual cab drivers. Maybe they all trade in their cars for something autonomous and become sort of operators of this autonomous system where they can monitor the thing but not necessarily have to drive anymore.
Yeah, you know.
And maybe put Uber out of business. I feel like they could do a better job.
Of course they can do a better job. You know, I'm not really a cab person because I really am not a social person. And whenever you get into a cab, you have to say something, and I don't really want to. You know, you get on a subway, you get on a bus, you don't have to say a damn thing. You can just sit there and stare or whatever.
It speaks for itself.
Yeah. But, and I, you know, when I, those rare occasions when I'm in a taxi with somebody, you know, who is in charge, they always get frustrated by something. It's like, yeah, can you open the window? Can you turn down the music? Can you stop being, you know, so Muslim? You know, whatever it is, they're upset by. You know, it's disturbing to me because I don't want to be, you know, in this tense situation that, you know, is caused by these close quarters and ignorance and whatever else is going on. So, yeah, I tend to avoid the things. But, I that said, I cannot believe that these ride-sharing platforms and autonomous vehicles have been able to get away with this, you know, something that these guys have worked their entire lives and worked hard to provide a service and to just be leapfrogged over like this so that anybody with a car can simply become a cab driver. It's just, it's so wrong. And you're seeing the results of it. You're seeing all kinds of horror stories now from various drivers and vehicles, even the autonomous ones. Of course, you know, there are nightmares with taxi drivers as well, but at least these are people that have been through the ropes. These are people that are licensed, that are trained, that are supposed to know what they're doing. There's always going to be, you know, some failures in the system, but...
Well, how about this? They're accountable for their driving.
Yeah, that's
and
something.
What are we just reading about? The complete lack of accountability. Okay, great. We can point to some lines in some code, but, you know, it's not ready yet.
Plus, you know, when you're a taxi driver, you're part of this culture that is, you know, it exists everywhere. I don't care what country you're from, even North Korea. Cab drivers are basically the same personality. You know, and that's not a put down at all. It's more like a constant. It's something that I look to with comfort. And, you know, we noticed this when we were traveling in Moldova. When we arrived in Moldova, remember that taxi driver that kept following us saying, taxi? We went inside a building. There he was behind us, taxi. Like, what makes you think we're going to change our mind just because you said it 18 times? But if you go to Port Jefferson Station and get off the train there, the same people are going to be there saying taxi to you. It's the same basic thing.
It's exactly the same.
But it ties us together. We can all share stories and say, yeah, remember that taxi driver that kept following us?
No.
Or the ride itself where, you know, some guy is smoking, has got the window open, and the car, you can't believe it still runs, but it does, and it gets you there. And it's just this similar thing.
That was one very noticeable thing was the cab drivers coming back from this extremely long trip. We had the same experience when we got to our furthest point away during our last trip,
uh-huh.
And had this like onslaught of cab drivers wanting to give us a ride. No, we took the minibus in Moldova, which of course we've already talked about.
But we did
before.
That once, only once.
But
then we discovered the real bus.
Right? No, we sorted it, but we didn't need a cab then. And likewise, upon returning from that furthest point. When we get off the train here in the Suffolk County area in Port Jefferson Station, there they are, the same folks doing their work,
yeah,
as expected.
I don't want to call an Uber. It's not the same thing. Although you probably would have some good conversations in foreign countries. Hey, we're out of time, though. Thank you for listening. Please write to us, otw@2600.com, if there's anything that we said that resonated or didn't resonate. We certainly would like to hear from you. Finn is coming up next. We will be back again next week, hopefully, at the same time.
Have fun.
Good night.
Listen.